Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. AutoTrader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Who's better at this job of radio?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Jeff Lutz.
Really good to great, you know, depending on the day.
Wow! Hey! Isn't that exciting?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's showtime, baby! You'll go wacko, bananas, nuts, crazy, unbelievable!
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio. John Feinstein will join us. Feinstein. I'll get that right. Will join us shortly to talk about his new book, which is about Ivy League football. And then to cap the show today, we'll talk with Gunther from World Wrestling Entertainment. He'll be part of the crew.
I don't think it is World Wrestling Entertainment. It's just WWE.
I'll call it what I want. He'll be in Wichita on December 9th for Monday Night Raw. He'll be wrestling Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight title coming up at Survivor Series War Games on November 30th.
Yeah, that's a good one. Who do you think the fifth member of the teams are going to be?
Don't know. Will we have the gathering here at the Hacienda for that one?
I assume so.
Our friends, the Griffiths, who, by the way, no text from Brian after.
Yeah, I got one from Randy, though.
After my insult to Randy.
Yeah.
Read the Randy text.
I said, who do you enjoy talking to more, me or Bob? He said, you, as in me.
No, read the text.
I just did.
Really? He said that?
Of course.
Well, you presented it in a whiny, needy fashion. What's he going to say?
I did. I asked him.
Hey, Randy, who do you like talking to more?
No, that's not what I said.
Well, of course he's going to say you.
Oh, really?
He's probably thinking, what's
this?
So
when you give someone a choice between two things, that's whiny? That's a weird...
Yeah, read the question.
I did.
Read it again. And let the
morons?
Let the audience decide.
Well... Hopefully we don't have that many morons in our audience.
Office? We got one right here in the quote-unquote office.
Well, there are some morons back at the office, but I won't tell you who they are. Who do you like talking to more, me or Bob?
What a whiny question.
Yeah, oh my God.
I could present that to
I'm the whiny one. Are you listening to yourself right
I could
now?
Present that to everyone in my contact list. And they'd all say me.
Okay. Well, then do it.
I'm really upset with Randy.
Ah, you'll get over it. And I don't think he cares. So,
what do you guys talk about?
What do you mean, what do we talk about?
Girls? What is it?
Girls. What's wrong with you?
Max, please save that.
No, please throw that into a fire. Along with the rest of today's tape.
You talk about your jobs? You talk about the old days? What do you?
No, we don't talk about the old days.
You don't talk about the old days.
Why would we?
Well, that's what friends do.
I don't remember anything about them, so it's not really... there's no real need for that.
I've always talked to my friends about the old days.
I mean, he brings some stuff up occasionally, but again, I don't remember anything that happened, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, that's not a good sign for you.
Nah, it's whatever.
Not a good sign.
It just is what it is.
I remember everything.
I move forward. I remember the stuff that is happening now and that I need to know today.
Name one of my, you know several of my friends. By the way, I was just conversing with one on Facebook,
who?
Mike Klein, who I went to school with and was a very good friend, very good friend.
Okay.
And we're going to meet up at the Oasis on November 30th. He just moved to Oklahoma to be closer to
one
of his kids.
You said that's when Survivor Series is.
Well, we'll meet up there at 4 o'clock. What time did he say?
Dumb time to... Let's meet at 3:15. Like, who does that?
Well, let me see what time he said.
You got it?
Around 5. I'll say, can we make it 4:30? And 4:30, and we'll be back
here.
Why don't
you just go have a Grand Slam breakfast if that's what you're doing?
Well, I like Mike Klein and his wife.
You must. I like him.
You know, I'll talk about the friendship a little bit. You want to hear a story?
No.
He had an old Rambler station wagon, and he lived in a house along, what was the name of that street? Georgie. And he had this old house, his parents, Elmer and Bertha.
Was Georgie the name of the street or his phone number?
Think about that. Elma and Bertha. And he had this little area to the south of his house that was perfect for wiffle ball. So we played hours and hours of wiffle ball in that lot.
A.K.A. a yard.
It had a fence for left field, and it had a parking lot for right field. So if you hit a ball over the left field fence, it's a home run. If you hit a ball onto the concrete parking lot, it's a home run. And it was so much fun playing whiffle ball.
Oh, my God.
You don't have any stories like
that.
No,
I don't.
Here's your story.
I never played whiffle ball.
I sat in the basement, and, I huddled up with cartoons. I mean,
what
you
does
got
that even
nothing.
Mean? I huddled up with cartoons?
You got nothing.
I certainly am not bringing those stories onto the show.
My reminiscences are...
Because you played wiffle ball?
Yeah.
Everybody played wiffle ball. Give me something unique.
He was a Minnesota Twins fan. So his favorite player at that time, and he always accentuated
was Walter
the
Johnson.
Last name, Gene Roof.
I like mine better.
Or was it Phil? It was Phil Roof.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, if you look all this stuff up, it's accurate.
I liked Walter Johnson. That should have been the end of that segment.
And the way that I recall this stuff is pretty darn amazing.
Yeah, if you cycle through three or four names, you'll stumble on
give
it.
Give me another name.
Walter Johnson.
Of a friend of mine. And no, I'll give you another story.
No, I'm all right.
This is beautiful radio.
Is it time for Feinstein yet? I know we went a little long
Feinstein. This is beautiful radio.
Are you going to get his name right when we talk to him?
Probably once or twice.
I don't want a Washington Post columnist hanging up on us. It's not a good look.
Give me another name. I'll tell you the first story that pops into my head.
I prefer not.
Well, I don't. That's so derogatory toward the show.
I don't. I'll just, you know, one old time Bob story is enough.
I'll give you a name. You tell me a quick story. First thing that jumps into your mind.
Okay.
I don't think I knew many of your school friends.
Well, I didn't have that.
Jesse Barnett.
Jesse Barnett. He was the catcher in a JV game at East when I pitched. I said, we're going to work the outside half of the plate today. I threw everything onto the outside corner a little bit off. Got so many called strikeouts that day. It was unbelievable. We went home and had a great time. He also
went home with Jesse?
No, we went to our separate homes.
Well, how do you know he had a great time?
He also ended up marrying someone that I had a fondness for, who was in our driver's ed class.
Name?
Her name was Kyla.
Hey, that's the story of your life.
That's true.
He got my girl. Kyla didn't know I existed.
I never spoke with Kyla. I just admired her from afar.
That's even sadder.
And Jesse, you know.
Jesse
got the job done. Are they still married?
Here's what Jesse said to Kyla. We'll throw some pitches on the outside corner. What do you think? Let's go to dinner. And that worked.
Yeah, we beat East that day. It did work. Or whoever.
Well, it's too bad you didn't have the gumption to go talk to her.
Eh, it is what it is.
Is he still married to her?
She's listed as Kyla, her last name, / Barnett, so.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, good for them.
They live here in town?
Yeah, looks like it.
I coached Jesse Barnett, remember?
Yeah, I do.
I wonder if he knows he's being talked about on radio.
I haven't.
See, this is the beauty of trips down memory lane.
I haven't thought of or heard from Jesse Barnett probably since that game.
Oh, look what I've done.
Against East.
You don't think the listeners appreciate this?
I'd like to hear from Jesse Barnett.
Now, see?
Are we Facebook friends? I doubt it.
See what I've done?
No, not really.
Of course you do.
I mean,
what I've done is unlock a long-lost friend.
I don't understand what you're going for there at all.
Give me one.
I don't know who your friends are.
You know my friends.
Yeah, but I know the people you've talked about for 50 years.
Give me another one.
I don't know.
My goodness, man. Bob O'Neill. You want to hear a story?
I'll pass on Bob O'Neill.
He put together a softball team, and we had tremendous times. Tremendous times playing softball on the team he helped organize, invited me to play. I was mostly the pitcher, but I played some third, some first. And because I didn't have a big ego, as people know, I could hit. But I slapped the ball up the middle almost every time because it was so easy for me. And I just said, I'll just go ahead and get a base hit here and we'll move the line along, you know?
Yeah, give me another one.
No, I don't want to give you another
one. Was that it?
I'm telling the story.
I thought that was it.
All right.
I got a hit one day. Well, that is a story for you.
Nick Long.
Who?
From your basketball days.
I don't know. Probably had a rich family like everyone else on that team, except me.
I bet I've seen Nick Long since you have.
Oh, and there's no.
He showed up at League 42 7-8 years ago on a horse.
For what?
He's a mounted police officer.
He is?
He was at that time.
Huh.
And we had a great conversation, and I really enjoyed that. That was fun. I even have stories about your friends.
Yeah, I don't care about
Nick
Long.
You don't have a story.
I want to hear the story about how I ended up on that team.
You don't have stories about your friends.
With all these Eastsiders. Who went to like Trinity Academy and stuff and all these rich.
I don't remember
how did I end up on that team.
I don't remember how you ended up on that team. I don't know. I don't know.
Some stuff I actually want to know.
But it was good. It was fun.
Yeah, I was a 2-time All-Star.
Thomas Cole. Give me a.
Eesh.
What do you mean?
He's no longer with us.
He's not?
He is not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know it either until a few years ago.
I'm sorry to hear that. I was texting
with Rob Ramsire and Andy Biggs.
Well, Andy Biggs, you got a million stories about Andy.
Yeah, he was a good friend. Stayed the night at his house, poured water in a boxing glove that he had or his dad had.
And his older brother, Doug. I mean, those were good years.
And got in trouble for that.
As you should have.
I'd seen it in a movie or something.
All right, good stuff. If you don't like that stuff, listeners, you're not a true listener.
Absolutely. Tom Cole was a good player.
We're going to do that periodically.
What did they call him? Rodman or something like that?
Now, look at you. You're completely wrapped up in this.
Do you remember? I don't remember.
Then there's that little kid. whose name I can't remember.
Robert?
No.
On the Warriors?
Yeah.
We didn't have any little kids.
Blonde hair.
Brian Ginch?
There you go.
Sat next to his sister in meteorology class. And again, another missed opportunity. What are you going to do? Could,
that's the perfect class for small talk. What do you think of the weather? Those clouds sure look interesting.
Yeah, and she's...
And instead, you just sit there...
And she specifically sat next to me every day.
Ridiculous. What a coward.
Isn't that crazy?
There's no better place to talk weather than a meteorology class.
We didn't talk weather.
We'll take a break, come back. John Feinstein will join us. One of the great authors, really, of our time. Stay with us.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. AutoTrader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Let's get right to John Feinstein. He's been good enough to join us to talk about his new book. It's called The Ancient Eight, College Football's Ivy League and the Game They Play Today. John, first of all, welcome. We're very happy to have you on our show.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys. As I said, I appreciate it.
I'm an old sports writer, and you're a sports writer. I'm not going to put the tag old on you, and I did it for a lot of years.
Old, but...
What I want to know first and foremost, I think I'm a pretty decent writer. I can't imagine sitting down and writing a book. I don't have the patience or the concentration level, and you've written about a million of them. How do you do that?
Well, I think the honest answer is I really enjoy it. I was very lucky that my first book, Season on the Brink, when I was in my 20s, did as well as it did, because it allowed me to pick and choose my topics after that book came out and after it sold as well as it did. And I've always been able to choose topics I enjoy, to do books that I want to do, and to deal with people that I want to deal with. And the Ancient Eight's a perfect example, because spending a season with Ivy League players and coaches was just a joy for me. I enjoyed every second of it, except for driving on I-95 here in the Northeast.
So, you know, to tell the story of the Ivy League, or even to chronicle just one season, you have to go back more than 150 years to the beginning of college football and when the Ivy League began to get together. So what connections were you able to make between then and now? Obviously, it's a very different game, but I know there's some tradition that has lasted that long. What did you discover in that area?
Well, first of all, as you know, Princeton played in the first college football game against Rutgers and lost 6-4, because back then the game was more like rugby than the football that we know today. And Princeton, on their helmets, they still wear 1869. So they want people to know they were part of that history. And the Ivy League has had a lot to do with all of college football's history. The Yale Harvard rivalry dates back to 1875. It is the game, no matter what Michigan and Ohio State say, because they were playing each other 20 years before Michigan and Ohio State ever heard of one another. And Princeton-Cornell is a great rivalry. And throughout the league, you have rivalries that date back more than 100 years. Years ago, the Ivy League teams won national championships all the time. When I walked into Harvard Stadium for the first time doing this book, there were 8 national championship banners. But the last one was in 1919, and no, I did not cover those teams. But point being, back then they were national powers. Then the presidents in 1954 made a conscious decision, as college football got more and more out of control, although nothing back then compares to what we have going on now, that they wanted to play football. They wanted it to be competitive, but they didn't want to sell their souls in the name of winning games. They didn't want to let guys in who were football players who shouldn't be going to an Ivy League school academically. They didn't want to spend millions of dollars on facilities and on recruiting and things like that. So they formed the Ivy League. The title of the book comes from that, the Ancient Eight, because there will never be an Ancient Nine or an Ancient Seven or an Ancient 12. We will always know the 8 teams playing in the Ivy League now and 100 years from now. It'll be the same 8 teams. And they, as I said, they made the decision to not compete for national championships and to compete with one another most of the time. They only play 10 games a year, and 7 of them are conference games. They play 10 games in 10 weeks, no postseason, which I disagree with, because the Ivy League teams in every other sport are allowed to play postseason, but the presidents won't let the football champion play in postseason. And I would make the case that they would be very competitive on the FCS level if they were allowed to compete in the tournament, which they're not. But there's so much history, tradition, legacy in the Ivy League, and yet the players who play the game today are very good players. There's usually between 12 and 15 of them in the NFL every season. And the competition is so fierce. I mean, I spent last year on the sidelines at every game I went to, and you can feel the emotion from the kids, because most of them aren't going to play professional football. They're going to go to law school or med school or go to Wall Street. I hope they won't be sports writers. No offense, Bob. But it's so emotional, because they love football, but they also know they're in college to get a degree and graduate.
Well, there's not a lot of Ivy Leaguers who go into sports writing, so I'm not too concerned, but we'll see. John Feinstein joining us. His new book is out, The Ancient Eight, College Football's Ivy League and the Game They Play Today. So we're all fascinated by the Ivy League. What's the school in the Ivy League that maybe doesn't get its due? Tell us what you think there. Which one is underrated? Well, one do you kind of pull for?
Yeah, they're all very good academic schools, as you know. But yes, in the last 18 months, the school that's been a unique story and a sad story is Dartmouth, because a year ago March, Buddy Tevens, who graduated from Dartmouth, was an all-Ivy quarterback and was a very good hockey player on a team that went to the Frozen Four in 1979. He had coached them for the second time round since 2005 and had turned them around from 0-10 to 7 Ivy League titles. And Buddy was also important because he was the first college coach who said, we can't allow all these head injuries to occur. We have to do something about CTE. And he called off hitting in practice. And Dartmouth scientists actually came up with a machine that you could put on the field, and it would show the players how to tackle properly. And many schools are using that now because it's so valuable in terms of the safety of the players. But Buddy was on vacation. I had already spoken to him about doing this book, and he was very, like all eight coaches, he was very excited about it and was all for the project. And 2 weeks after I had that conversation with him, he was riding his bicycle home from dinner in Florida with his wife on vacation, and he was hit by a truck. And he barely survived the accident, lived for 6 months, but eventually died from all those injuries the week before Dartmouth's home opener last season. And I was in a locker room that day, and the talk that Sammy McCorkle, who was then the acting coach, gave to his players still gives me chills just to think about, because he was so firm about what Buddy would have wanted from the players and how proud he already was of the players and how they had handled his injury and losing another player, Josh Bolera, starting offensive lineman, to cancer. Josh died the day before Buddy's accident. So they'd been through so much. They won the game that day, and they went on to tie for the Ivy League title last year with Yale and Harvard, after being Big Six before Buddy died. And this year they're tied for first. And I don't know if you've ever been to Dartmouth, guys. I had never been before last year, but it is a spectacularly beautiful place. It does get cold in the winter, but it's almost – the other Ivy League schools refer to the people at Dartmouth, players, coaches, teachers, whomever, as being part of a cult in a good way. Because they all love it up there so much that once you get up there, and it takes a while, but once you get up there, you never want to leave.
Wow. So, you know, who you mentioned that these teams were vying for national championships, and who in that era or longer than an era, it stretched out for a little while, who were some of the central Ivy League football figures of those times? And was there one who maybe even rose above the rest as kind of the central figure?
Well, one of the last ones who was a contender for the Heisman Trophy, two of the last ones I'll give you, Cosmo Iacovazzi, who played out of the single-wing offense at Princeton in 1962. The team went undefeated, and there were two prominent players signed by the New York Jets that year, Joe Namath and Cosmo Iacovazzi. So that's certainly being a part of history there. And then in 1971, you guys might remember this, Ed Marinaro finished second in the Heisman Trophy voting while at Cornell and probably should have won and went on and played for the Minnesota Vikings for 10 years. And then afterwards, you might remember, went on to be a very successful actor on Hill Street Blues. And his son, Eddie, who's a wide receiver, is at Cornell right now. He's in his senior year.
Wow, that is amazing. Talking with John Feinstein, whose new book is out about the Ivy League and its football programs. I want to backtrack to you. You mentioned Season on the Brink, and talk about hitting the ground running with your first book. Of course, the story about Bob Knight and Indiana basketball. First of all, what made you jump into that fire at such a young age? And then secondly, how did you feel when Bob Knight passed away?
Well, I was very sad. I mean, he had a sad death because he had dementia. And the last couple of years of his life, he really didn't know where he was. I don't know if you ever saw a tape of his when he finally returned to Assembly Hall in Bloomington almost 20 years after he'd been fired. And you could tell just looking at him on television that he wasn't well. So it made me sad that he died the way he did. And I've always said, you know, Bob and I had our battles after Season on the Brink came out, but we eventually patched things up. But I've always said that I will be forever grateful to him because the access he gave me to do that book allowed the book to become the bestseller that it did. And the reason I quote unquote jumped in, to use your term, is, you know, I'm like any writer. I wanted to write a book. And, you know, I had asked Dean Smith about a similar project a few years before. I had a great relationship with Coach Smith. And he said to me, John, I wouldn't let my mother in the locker room. And my answer to that was, but you don't curse, Bob. Why wouldn't you let, Dean, why wouldn't you let your mother in the locker room? Bob did curse. But I developed a relationship with him covering his Olympic team in 84. And I wrote a long piece on him during their terrible season in 84, 85. And he called me to thank me for it because he thought I was fair to him. This was right after he threw the chair and invited me to a dinner at the Final Four that he always had with his coaches and friends. This is when the Final Four was played in the afternoon on Saturdays. And I thought to myself, he's inviting me into the into his inner sanctum. What if I could do that for a year and write a book? And I asked Bob about it at that dinner, after the dinner that night. Mike Krzyzewski was in the room because he and Bob were doing a clinic together the next day and they were planning it. And then I made the proposal to Bob to try to find a publisher to do the book. When we walked out of the room, Mike looked, as soon as the door closed, Mike looked at me and said, "Are you out of your blanking mind?" And I said, "What? What are you talking about?" And he said, "You're volunteering to spend a season with him? You're crazy." And I said, "Well, you played for him for 4 years. You coached for him." And he said, "Yeah, I needed to go to college. You went to college. I needed a job. You have a job. You're out of your mind." He wasn't wrong, but I'm glad I didn't listen to him. Five publishers turned the book down, and finally a sixth one, Macmillan, offered me an advance of $17,500 to do the book, and I did it. And 50 books later, here I am.
So real
great story.
Real quick, John, I'm curious because I think the first book of yours that I read was a while ago. It's crazy. But it was the Army-Navy book, which was obviously right. Fantastic. I'm just curious how your experience kind of with that book and around those people compared to your experience around Ivy League people, because those obviously are organizations that aren't first known for football. Were there similarities in those communities?
Very much so. Very much so. Obviously, there's no military aspect in the Ivy League, but Civil War in many ways, along with another book I wrote about Patriot League basketball, The Last Amateurs, really inspired this book because I enjoyed the players that I met and interviewed and wrote about in those two books so much. They both ended up on the bestseller list. I hope this one will too, but I enjoyed them so much. I thought, you know, wow, it would probably be a lot of fun to do a book on Ivy League athletes. I grew up in New York City. I went to Columbia games as a kid. They were terrible, but I still enjoyed going to the games. $4 to get in, by the way, and sit on the 40-yard line. So I went to my publisher and I said, you know, I'd love to try to do a book on Ivy League football. And fortunately, he had read both A Civil War and The Last Amateurs, and he thought it was a great idea. And at least from my point of view, from the experience that I had, it was a great idea.
Well, your writing has touched a lot of people in your life, and I'm sure that's very gratifying. And this latest book, The Ancient Eight, about Ivy League football and its history, will do the same. Before we let you go, and thanks again, John, for doing this. Is there an idea percolating in your brain for the next book?
You know, it's a great question. There are about five of them right now. And once I get through with this book tour, I need to sit down with my agent and my editor and see which of the five they like the best and which of the five I like the best. And I hope I'll get to do another one.
Well, we hope so too. Thanks for being on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
You bet. Thank you. John Feinstein. one of the great authors in our country, and that's all there is
to it. Just a pro. That was,
thank you. Oh, John.
A fantastic interview.
Well, we love the guy.
Yeah, you could talk to him all day.
Well, I have a million more questions.
Of course, as anyone should and would.
A million more questions. But I'm glad I got the Bob Knight thing, because that's fascinating to me. Here's a guy in his 20s. Yeah, I'll go spend a season with this nut, this volatile coach who might do anything.
Sure.
I can see once you get to your 40s and 50s and you've got a body of work, but your first book, that took a lot of courage.
It sure did.
And you wouldn't ask a girl out in your meteorology class.
Yeah, pretty weak. But what are you going to do?
Well, that's just...
Everything worked out.
Just pathetic. Thanks again to John Feinstein. I can't tell you how much I appreciate him coming on, even if it is to plug a new book, and share all of his stories and insights. I just really enjoyed that. Let's get to Jim on the IHOP hotline. Don't forget, celebrate the weekdays with the new IHOP House Favorites, all for $6, Monday through Friday. Jim, what do you have?
Yeah, I got a Jeff game for you. Can you name the Ivy League schools? And was Slippery Rock one of them?
No.
I can't either.
What are you talking about?
Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Dartmouth, Cornell.
Brown.
I already said Brown. I've got six of them.
Columbia, you didn't
Columbia,
say.
Columbia, that's seven.
Cornell, you said. Uh-huh. Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Penn. Did we say Penn?
That's it. Those are the eight, not Slippery Rock, Jim.
I don't even know where you're going with that. Rock.
Well, I always thought that whenever they always added Slippery Rock in a news broadcast, that was one of the Ivy League schools that they just threw in for entertainment.
Well, Slippery Rock that's not. Slippery Rock is
I
not.
I think you were watching a different program.
Slippery Rock is in that vicinity.
Yeah.
They're in the Ivy League territory, but not an Ivy League school. Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about anybody's Slippery Rock anymore.
No, no, we weren't talking about anybody's Slippery Rock. We were talking about the school.
Yeah, Jim.
And when you try to get to vulgar humor, it never works.
It just made me uncomfortable because it seemed like...
It never works because you're not... You miss the opening.
No, I didn't. You think I have? No, I've never missed.
You miss that opening.
As Jim might say, I've never missed an opening in my life.
Yeah, it didn't work for you.
I think we just got kicked off the air anyway.
With more creativity and better sense of timing, maybe.
No, my timing is fantastic.
I mean,
when you start pulling out insults that aren't true, then you just damage.
Well, you can say they're not true.
No, they're just objectively not.
You can objectively disagree.
Right, and I do.
Subjectively, it was a bad attempt.
I know, subjectively it was. Objectively, which is what we're aiming for, it was fantastic.
Objectively, it was terrible.
Mm-mm, you missed the mark.
Tomorrow on the show, Matt Perino, who covers the Buffalo Bills for Syracuse.com, will be with us, as will Joanna Chadwick, as will Celise Blow from Wichita State Women's Basketball, and as will the big fella, Anthony, for the three-man booth.
All right.
So, is this the first time we've done the three-man with Anthony?
No, sir. It's at least the second, maybe the third.
Well, I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Not you.
Oh.
Having Anthony here.
Well, maybe you can just do the show with Anthony.
You want me to?
I don't know. Probably not.
Well, it's up to you.
Probably not.
You want to skip out again?
No, probably not. I'll probably be here.
What do you got planned for the weekend?
I don't know. Aaron's going to be here.
Well, what's the plan?
I don't know. They're going up to Ark City for something tomorrow and Saturday.
You going?
No, I got to work.
You got to work Saturday?
No, but I got to work tomorrow.
You could drive up there Saturday.
I'm good.
Well, that's a terrible outlook.
It's nothing I need to attend. It's all good.
Well, your daughter's home for the weekend.
Yeah, and they'll have a wonderful time.
I'd want to spend as much time around her as possible.
Nah, she can do her own thing. And
when you went away to college.
We'll hang out tonight.
You lived at home. There was no thrill for me.
No,
about
I tried
having
to get
you come
it, I
home.
Tried to get out as much as possible.
No, you didn't.
In a way,
you hunkered down right there.
No, I didn't.
Thinking about what could have been had you asked the meteorology girl out.
Well, put some respect on her name. It's Christine, I believe.
What a sad sack.
Why?
Just close the door. My dog's seeing something outside. I don't know. Just, you know.
Who cares?
I had a girl in my meteorology class. I asked her out.
She said no.
No, she went.
She went.
She went out with me.
She went. She showed up on accident to some place.
No, we went out together.
And how'd that go?
Very well.
Wrong.
Let me just say that.
I don't want to. And I don't want you to.
If I think I love making you uncomfortable more than anything in the
I'm
world.
Not uncomfortable.
It is highly uncomfortable.
When's Gunta going to be on?
Don't worry about Gunta.
Gunta!
Please don't yell, Jeff. I swear.
This is me, man. I do this at home. I don't know what you think is going on here.
No, don't do it here.
It's
hard.
There's
decorum here.
No, there shouldn't
be. There's a way to carry yourself.
There shouldn't be.
And try to be respectful.
Okay, I'll try.
And how are you handling not having a kid at home? Is that going well?
It's going fine.
I can't imagine that you're doing that well with it.
Yeah, we're doing fine. We hang out. We watch TV. We go to bed. Sometimes we're going out tonight, I think.
Where are you going?
Because the kid's going to be here. We're going to check out the new Barnes & Noble.
Oh, there you go.
And maybe hit some place for dinner. You want to come?
I don't know. No.
Okay. That's fine.
No.
That's fine.
Thank you for the invitation, I'm not sure it was one.
Sure it was.
Thanks to Max back in the studio, our guest today. Really cool, really good stuff. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. AutoTrader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.